That's it.
It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here after a 3-2 Blackhawks loss to the San Jose Sharks. You can call or text 312-981-7200 if you are up late with us tonight. Going up to 1 a.m. 1 a.m. Wow. Let's bring in Troy Murray, who just got done calling the game from San Jose. Troy, that was a heartbreaking finish. It feels like the Blackhawks did everything but score in that third period.
Well, yes, they really dominated the third period. Sharks were hanging on for pretty much the whole 20 minutes. Some underlying numbers, just the shots alone. First of all, Seth Jones had 10 shots in the third period. Five were got through to the goaltender. Five were blocked. The Blackhawks had 13 shots on goal in the third. 14 more were blocked. Give San Jose a ton of credit for having that willingness and standing in front of all the shots. And five more missed. They had, 32 shot attempts in the third period. San Jose, 9 total attempts. That was total domination in the third period. How they didn't get one to get behind Mackenzie Blackwood, I don't know. But, boy, they did everything that they could. They peppered the goaltender. They had full control of the play in the third period. Just couldn't find a way to score that third goal.
I mean, where do you look at where the Blackhawks could have done better in this game? Is it that lull in the second period, clearly, where they gave up two goals because they left the first up by one, and then they did everything but score in the third? It was really that middle frame where they couldn't build on the lead in the first period.
They dropped off a little. San Jose took advantage of it. Didn't think Mrazek had his A game tonight. A two long range shot from Will Smith, and give him credit, boys. Some real great shots here. This is a guy that led the NCAA in points last year with 71 points, so you know he can score. No points so far up to this juncture of his NHL career. Picked up his first two goals of the season. You would think that Mrazek might have been able to handle one of those. The goal by Wenberg, shot came through, thought he had it, was between his pads. Wenberg saw that the play was still alive, poked it. You know, and that kind of summed up the game. The Blackhawks 0-for-3 on the Citgo power play. San Jose 1-for-1. I talked about special teams being an important part of this. You know, they lost that special teams battle. And when you lose those special teams battle, 5-on-5, sometimes hard to make up the difference.
What's crazy, too, is the Blackhawks only committed one penalty all night, and the Sharks capitalized on it. So, you know, you'd think in theory you commit only one minor penalty, you should win the hockey game, but unfortunately it didn't go that way for the Blackhawks.
No, and you look at San Jose, their penalty killing has been very good as of late, 9-for-9 now in the last three games, and I only think one in the last five or six games that they've given up. So they've really done a nice job on the penalty kill. I think that they realize what type of game that they need to play. I thought that they were a little bit overwhelmed at times in the third period, but they didn't break. Their goaltender, again, was great. Everybody on their team was blocking shots left and right. It's just crazy that when you look at the total block shots in this game, San Jose 25, the Blackhawks 9. And that just talks about puck possession in the offensive zone, how many chances you're creating. But I'll tell you what, San Jose did a nice job of keeping their guys in the middle of the ice. When the Blackhawks dominated, when they moved the puck around, they had lots of time in the offensive zone, but they were on the outside. San Jose did a nice job of keeping them on the outside and then making sure that they had guys in the shooting lanes when the Hawks were looking to attack the net.
It's crazy. San Jose has done something just now. They won 3 in a row, something the Blackhawks hadn't done all season last year, which is crazy to think about. You were hoping that the Blackhawks can kind of get off the schneid in that department by building off their win in Colorado, and unfortunately it's back to square one when they continue on the California trip.
Yeah, and I watched the game last night. The LA Kings played the Vegas Golden Knights, and they were great in that game. So it's not going to be easy. Anaheim's a team that, like San Jose, has got some really good young players, and the Hawks are going to have to be aware of the threat of both of those teams this weekend. You want to try, and you're 1-2 on the road trip so far. You want to try and win the next two games to have above 500 road trip there. But, you know, you got to look at this game right now, and a lot of positives that they can take out of this game. They just didn't get the job done.
All right, Troy, good stuff. Go get some sleep. Although it's only 10 o'clock over there, so you should be okay.
Well, we've had some late nights as far as and yeah, okay, we're, you know, our body clocks are completely different. And we switched time zones to Denver, picked up an hour, got in at 3 o'clock. You know, I mean, it's hard to travel, and you know, you did have a couple of days off here in San Jose, but at the same time, you know, now you're traveling, you're going to get in late. You switch hotels on Saturday, you play Sunday, you travel home, get home at 3 o'clock in the morning. Even though you sometimes look at it and say, oh, it's not that late, but your body clock's telling you different sometimes, and the time changes are a tough thing to adjust with.
It does feel like the Hawks have been, it's been a tough first few weeks for the Blackhawks, even on that opening road trip. They started with some late games. Like, it was right out of the gate where the Blackhawks are already trying to get their body clocks to line up with the season.
Well, they've after this road trip, they've already played basically a quarter of their games on the road in the first month of the season. So, you know, the schedule's going to get a little bit easier there. They're getting rid of some of these long trips that teams have to make in the NHL. So, you know, the road trips are going to become a little bit easier. But the games on the road don't get any easier. So they got to find a way to win some games here, get themselves back in a real positive mode.
Well, good news, Troy, is the next game is at 3 p.m. Central. So we'll have some sun out while we're doing the show.
Yeah, 1 o'clock out here Pacific time. Looking forward to that. We'll bust down to Anaheim after the game, and then that's an afternoon game as well out here. I think, 6 o'clock Chicago time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you from L.A.
Okay.
Did you think I was going to say Anaheim?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm just, no.
All right.
I don't think.
All right, Troy, we'll talk Saturday.
It's safer that way.
You know what? Actually, technically, we will be talking tomorrow in Chicago time.
Correct.
Ha-ha. Gotcha.
Correct. Well, good luck for another, 50 minutes?
50 minutes. I'll hold the fort down. It's okay.
All right. Well, if you want me to call in, I'll call in. I'll be up.
It's okay. I won't do that to you.
All right, have a good one.
All right. See you, Troy.
Bye-bye.
All right. Troy mentioned it there that the third period stats were so lopsided for the Blackhawks. Shot attempts, 32-9 in favor of the Blackhawks. Shots on goal, 13-5 in favor of the Blackhawks. Then looking at natural stat trick, scoring chances in the third period, 16-4 Blackhawks. 8 of them were high quality chances. So the Blackhawks really did everything but score. And it's actually, the Hawks have been quite good the last few games in those extra attacker situations. They nearly scored the 6-on-5 situation in Dallas it was last weekend. And Seth Jones, there was a clip that went viral on social media. Seth Jones' shot was going directly into the net, but Nick Foligno was standing in front and ended up redirecting it away. So if Foligno doesn't tip that in, Hawks tie that game in Dallas with the extra attacker. And then tonight, granted, it was a 6-on-4 because the Hawks were on the power play. I want to say, I was looking at Seth Jones hunt down that puck with like 25 seconds left, and it looked like he stopped skating because he maybe subconsciously thought it was a 6-on-5 opportunity, so there was no icing. But he, you know, Troy had mentioned that too. Seth Jones was unbelievable in the third period. I had 5 shots on goal and 7 shot attempts in the third period, but I almost, Troy's probably right. I think it was 10. It seemed like any time he had the puck on his stick, you know, he fired it on the net, and even on that 6-on-4 opportunity he was creating. So really nice performance by Seth Jones. He's actually the only player on the Blackhawks roster, the only defenseman on the Blackhawks roster with a goal. So he had that shooting type mentality in that third period. You know, I think that's the kind of thing Luke Richardson has been saying for a while now, of wanting all of his defensemen to have shooting type mentalities. And we definitely saw that with Seth in the third period. I'm looking at the other, you know, first period was pretty good for the Blackhawks. You know, like they gave up that first goal. I did write down, it was the first 5 minutes of the game where I didn't think it was the greatest for the Blackhawks. They were outshot 4-0, and then Will Smith scores the goal to make it 1-1. And the noteworthy thing for me, at least for the Blackhawks, is they strike back quickly 37 seconds later, and then it was Tyler Bertuzzi his first even strength goal of the season scores 50 seconds after that. So the Hawks respond 30 seconds after San Jose's first goal, score twice in 50 seconds. And I know this isn't the first time I've said this, but there were so many instances last season for the Blackhawks where the Blackhawks would score a goal, get some momentum, and then the opponent would seemingly score within a minute or two right after their goal, and it would kind of take the wind out of Chicago's sails. It's been nice to see the Blackhawks trend in the other direction where they are building on some of the momentum, or they're the ones that are making sure that there aren't any quick strikes in return. Even the Colorado game was, I believe it was Ryan Donato's goal. Like, the Hawks went up 1-0. Colorado responded to make it 1-1, and the Blackhawks shortly after that responded with a goal to make it 2-1. And so it was like a short-lived momentum for Colorado. And then same with tonight, San Jose goes up 1-0, and Chicago scores 37 seconds after, and then 50 seconds later, two goals in 50 seconds total to go ahead 2-1. So it's unfortunate, though, because we've talked all season to this point through 11 games. It's either tough start or not a strong finish, or it's a great start, not the best finish. And in this one, a little bit of a different script. It was really good first period, really strong third period, but it was the second period where there was a little bit of a lapse where the Hawks were outscored 2-0 to San Jose, and then they're going into the third period. They haven't won a hockey game when trailing through two periods all season. They fell to 0-6-0 now in that department. You know, it's tough to win hockey games when you're trailing, no matter who the opponent is going into the final 20. So it's unfortunate they didn't break through. I thought they deserved at least a point. You know, Troy mentioned it too. Like, Peter Mrazek, he wasn't on his A game, and he would be the first to say that as well. The Will Smith, I mean, he's had two both of his goals were on terrific shots. The second goal specifically, I think Mrazek is going to be kicking himself, where Zetterlund shoots the puck, Mrazek can't control it or thinks he has it underneath him, and then Alexander Wenberg found the opening. Found the loose puck. The officials were right there. They didn't blow the whistle because I think they knew that the puck was loose, or it was too quick to blow the whistle quite yet. And Wenberg poked it in, and Mrazek kind of looked around, like seemingly confused that the puck was loose, and it seemed like he was disappointed with himself too, that he didn't have control of that puck. So, I mean, hardly to blame for this game, but I think Mrazek would probably put it on himself because he holds himself to such a high standard, and we've grown so accustomed to Mrazek just being rock solid in the net for the Blackhawks. So it's unfortunate that Mrazek was on his B game tonight, and Mackenzie Blackwood was just absolutely terrific for the San Jose Sharks, especially in that third period where I think he stopped, it was 13 shots in the third period, but quite a few of them were high quality chances. So it's unfortunately the Blackhawks couldn't take advantage, but you know, and I would have liked to see the Blackhawks take advantage of this game as well, because, you know, I mentioned it with Troy, the Hawks last year was so surprising when I reaffirmed this, but they had never won more than two games in a row all of last season. They won back-to-back games three times, never won more than twice in a row. And you know, to kickstart a win in Colorado, then you saw San Jose on the slate, and you're kind of licking your chops if you're the Blackhawks, even though San Jose came into this game having won their last two games after starting the season 0-7-2, which, by the way, that was San Jose was the first team in NHL history, I think, to go back-to-back seasons losing at least nine games in a row. So it's like San Jose really started off the year cold, and then they had that crazy comeback in Utah. Then they beat LA the other night, and so they were coming in feeling a little bit confident. But you would have felt the Blackhawks, given the home opener, the Blackhawks, it was probably their best 60-minute effort of the season, the home opener against San Jose. And then coming off the win in Colorado, you thought maybe the Blackhawks had the edge psychologically as well. And I thought maybe Arvid Soderblom would start in this game too, because Mrazek had had such a heavy workload. But I think the 2 extra days off allowed the Blackhawks to go back to Mrazek coming off that win in Colorado, and then knowing that there's a back-to-back coming up in Anaheim and LA. So you know that Soderblom is going to get one of the two. So yeah, it's just unfortunate the Blackhawks couldn't capitalize on the momentum building win in Colorado, and now they have to start back to square one to try to stack together some wins when they visit LA on Saturday. Let's take a break, because we got some sound coming in from the locker room. We got more Blackhawks post-game show coming up on 720 WGN.
Now puck turned over in the Hawks zone. A shot! They score! It's Smith again. Will Smith from the high slot area. As the puck caromed around the right side boards, it looked like it hit a skate and ricocheted right into the slot. Smith was all alone and fired and scored. And the Sharks now lead 3-2.
Back on the Blackhawks post-game show, the Blackhawks fall to the Sharks 3-2 in San Jose. That was one of two goals by Will Smith, the number 4 overall pick in the 2023 NHL draft by the Sharks. It's actually his first points as well. He was pointless in his first 8 games, so he gets off the schneid in a big way for San Jose. He also finished with 3 shots on goal, only logged 13-14 of ice time. So, but yeah, he was a man. He's got a lethal shot. That's going to be scary for San Jose to come, especially when Macklin Celebrini comes back, which, by the way, I was disappointed we weren't able to see Celebrini versus Bedard, the two number 2 overall picks back-to-back years this year and last year. Celebrini was injured. He hasn't played literally since the season opener, scored that goal like 7 minutes into his NHL career, and we haven't seen him since. He actually was on the ice today for the first time. So he's inching closer to returning, I guess, or he hit the next step in his recovery process. But the Hawks don't play the Sharks until, I think it's March 13th, and it's going to be in San Jose. So we're not going to be able to see Celebrini in Chicago this year, but hopefully by March, both Bedard and Celebrini are on the ice for their respective teams, and we can see that fun battle between the two number 1 overall picks. Seth Jones had a terrific third period for the Blackhawks. He did everything but score as well. Finished with 12 shot attempts, 5 on goal for the Blackhawks. He spoke to the media in San Jose. Let's listen in.
Just kind of just pushed the whole third period and just couldn't get one to go.
Yeah, played well in the third. Had a lot of pucks to the net, a lot of ozone movement, and just couldn't find the back of the net.
Is it frustrating to not get a result out of that?
Very frustrating, very disappointing.
What did you see earlier that maybe you guys weren't doing as well?
I thought our first period was good. And then the second period, we started turning pucks over, same old story. And we give them life. We give them opportunities after rush from our turnovers, and that's not the recipe to success that this team needs. So, 10-15 minutes of bad hockey is good enough for us to lose at this point.
Does this feel like, last game feels like a step forward, and this feels like another step backward, just it getting the momentum and getting consecutive wins or building on it?
Yeah, it's a winnable game for us. We think we're a better hockey team, but we have to go out and show it every night. And, it's just frustrating, like you said. A big win in Colorado, and then we come out and lose this one. It's one that we think we could win, and we should win.
I mean, this is a game you guys responded after they took the opening lead, 2 goals 50 seconds apart. Why do you think you were able to build off that?
I didn't catch the question, I'm sorry.
I said, why do you think you weren't able to build off that quick response?
I don't know. I think, like I said, we got away from how we scored those goals. We started turning the puck over. It's the same old story. You're going to hear it 1,000 times. You've heard it 1,000 times. We start going east-west in the neutral zone. Sometimes we think we're the Globetrotters in the neutral zone, and when we need to be getting pucks deep and going to work and scoring rebound goals like we did last game. So just keep it simple.
That was Blackhawks defenseman Seth Jones. Again, finished with 12 shot attempts, 5 on goal. Seth actually didn't record a shot on goal in Colorado. So you turn the tables in this game. Again, most of that came in the third period, so it was, you know, you'd like to see that shooting type mentality in the first two periods as well. But man, if he breaks through, and you know, if he breaks through in that third period, it's a different story for the Blackhawks. We have a caller waiting on the line, so let's get to him because it is late. Nico, you are on the Blackhawks post game show. What is going on?
What's going on, guys? Huge fan of the show. What's going on?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I just want to get on here and talk about Seth Jones. You guys saw him play in that third period. I mean, I think that's the best hockey I've seen him play since we signed him. I mean, he took every shot. He wasn't afraid. He just looked comfortable. I mean, we signed, paid him $10 million a year, and I haven't seen him play like this the whole year. I thought it was unbelievable. I want to see that going down the stretch this season, just some bright spots out of him. I don't know if you guys saw the same thing as I did, but.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nico, for the call. I definitely saw that in the third period. I even want to say Seth made, he came into this season with more of a shooting type mindset, and I think that's why the Blackhawks had some early power play success, especially on that road trip where Seth Jones, I believe his only goal of the season came in Edmonton on the power play, and the Hawks scoring five power play goals total in the first five games of the season. It feels like a lot of that had to do with Seth Jones having a shooting type mentality on the point. And it has allowed, kind of opened up some seams for Bedard and Teravainen to also play off each other. But I think Seth definitely having more of a shooting type mentality. I would like to see the way he played in the third period. I think if he carries that over for a full 60 minutes, like that is exactly the kind of defenseman the Blackhawks want him to play like, because over time those chances will go in if he does so. So, all right, awesome. Thank you so much, Nico. Appreciate you hanging up or hanging on with us this late, 12:30.
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate it. We got Ryan Donato also spoke to the media in San Jose. He scored his sixth goal of the season for the Blackhawks. He has five goals in his last five games. Man, I don't think anyone saw this coming. Let's hear what Ryan had to say after this loss.
What do you think they were able to come back?
I don't know. I'm just gonna. I think we had that answer. We would have. I don't know.
Is that a particularly frustrating one, considering all the chances you guys were able to create in the third?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. There's not much to say right now. It's just you're disappointed in yourselves. It's a hard loss. I think we had a lot of chances that we could have scored on, obviously, but, you know, it's not good enough, like, to create. We've been saying in the locker room that we're not going to take any moral victories, and getting chances, just not good enough.
I know you are probably not in the mood to celebrate it at all, but added to your lead with your sixth goal. I mean, can you speak to, you know, what you've been doing this season offensively?
Just praying a lot. I mean, I worked hard in the summer, and you know, it's hard to kind of look at it after a hard loss like that. But you know, I pray a lot, and I give it. That's all I can say. I try and show up and do the right things and work hard, but, you know, my faith has carried me a long way. And, you know, I think that's, for me, that's what I always go back to.
Does it feel like you guys need to go for some sort of hump or something just to find some consistency and build it from game to game?
Yeah, I think that's definitely something you could say. Like, we put together some good periods against good teams, and then, you know, there's not a night you can't take off in this league. There's too many good players. And, you know, I think tonight's a prime example of that. We can always say we can go regroup and try and get better, but at a certain point, it's super frustrating, and it's hard to kind of just keep on saying that. So I think hopefully we can, like, I'm going to say it again, we're going to learn from the experience, but, you know, we need results.
Do you feel like they just came out with a little more jump tonight, like kind of how you guys did with the Avalanche?
No, I mean, they've won two games in a row. They're feeling good about themselves. You know, every team's going to show up. You know what I mean? They have good players. They have guys that have made deep runs in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They have young guys that are high draft picks. They have a lot of talent. So, you know, like, if you're not going to bring your A game, there's going to be guys that can capitalize on it. Yeah, it's just a tough, kind of a bitter loss.
That was Blackhawks forward Ryan Donato. Nice to see him wear his faith on his sleeve. I appreciate that about him. I think he's a real one in the NHL, and it's nice to see him get rewarded too. 6 goals. I think after the last game we said he was on a 50-goal pace, and his career high in this season is, who's it, 16? I think it was 16 or 18 or somewhere in between there. So, man, he's almost halfway there. And somebody on Twitter had mentioned to me that he didn't score his 6th goal until his 25th game in Seattle during the season when he had a career high. So he's through 11 games this season, is already at 6. So good to see for Ryan Donato. I also wanted to shout out Connor Murphy on the back end. I highlighted Seth Jones, whatever, 12 shot attempts, 5 shots on goal. But Connor Murphy quietly had 2 assists in this game, and he now has 6 points in his last 6 games. And it's going to be shocking to hear, but that matches his 6 assists through 11 games already matches his assist total from the last 3 seasons. Each of the last 3 seasons, he's had 6 assists. Last year, he had 6 in 46 games. He obviously missed a good chunk of the season with the groin injury. The previous year, he played in 80 games, had 6 assists. The year before that, he had 6 assists in 57 games. His career high in assists is 15, which was in 2016-17 with the Arizona Coyotes. And his career high in points is 19, which he's done with the Blackhawks. It was in the 19-20 season. And by the way, that was only a... they played 58 games because that was the... was that the bubble? I think that was the bubble. Yeah. That was the COVID season where it got cut short. So he's already on pace. I mean, he's on pace to shatter his assist record, but he's also on pace to break his points, his career points total. While doing so, he doesn't have a goal yet this season. So, you know, I'm sure he'll start to break through in that department as well. All right, let's take another break here. We got more to get to on the Blackhawks post game show, including our save of the game and Luke Richardson's post game comments coming up right here on 720 WGN.
Thompson, right point, long wrist shot, deflects it on goal. Big save by Mrazek, and they stop the follow up shot there by Toffoli as well, as Kaiser flings the puck off the left side and down into the Shark end.
Back here on the Blackhawks post-game show, that was our save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/poweringbiz. Again, goaltending battle between Mackenzie Blackwood and Peter Mrazek. Definitely give the edge to Blackwood. He had stopped 29 of 31 shots versus the Blackhawks. Peter Mrazek gave up 3 goals on 29 shots. He stopped 26 of 29. Didn't think Mrazek had his best game, and again, I don't care to pile on because he's been so good for the Blackhawks that you expect him to bounce back in his next start. But it is noteworthy that the Hawks had a 3.02 expected goals according to Natural Stat Trick. So Blackwood stopped 1.02, which is a pretty high number for a goaltender. So he was excellent in that third period. All right, let's go back to San Jose and hear from Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson, who summarized the loss.
So what do you take away from that one?
I think, you know, it was off on our game plan, really, over the game. I thought there was times where we were just a little bit sloppy play. But, you know, there was times we were really good in the offensive zone, I think, and in our transition. And unfortunately, we just didn't get a bounce in a couple of those flurries in the O zone. But, you know, it gave us a chance at the end. And but, you know, I mean, it's a game that I think we came out and got the lead in the first period. And then the second period was probably the most disorganized and maybe, you know, just off our game plan a little bit. And that's all it takes to lose a game in this league.
Would you have liked to see them shoot a little bit more, especially in the first two periods? It seemed like there was plenty of space, but not really taking advantage of it every shift.
Yeah. No, I think we were looking for some of the perfect plays, but we had some really nice plays, and I think that kind of led to us really looking for that pretty one, or not just, you know, playing simple hockey and shooting more. And even at the end, like, I think we got to start taking some more one-timers and getting shots from the top. The low plays are great, but when we recover rebounds, everybody's down low. We got to get it low to high faster and get more shots from the sides or even in the middle would be great.
Okay. But what do you think the team gets off its game?
I don't think we've done that much this year. I think tonight it was just a game that this team's a fast team, and they get going up and down north and south in the ice surface. And sometimes, you know, we can get trapped into playing their game plan instead of playing ours, and I think that happens lots. It's just you know, they're a fast team. They won three games in a row, so we were ready for them coming into the game. I thought we started okay. Just for some reason, I think we started to try and play their game plan a little bit in the second period, and that's not really the way our team's built. And I thought we got back on it a bit in the third, and we got a lot more offense and ozone time out of that.
Was it eye-opening, just Will Smith's his shooting ability? Give him a little space and what he can do.
Yeah, no, that was his first goal was really nice, and got it off his stick real quick and lots of velocity off of it. So yeah, I think he knew it was a matter of a time when you have a guy that's that skilled and dynamic, and unfortunately it was against us tonight.
Did Nato surprise you with his offensive production? I think he has a 3-goal lead on anybody else on the team, like a 42.9 shooter percentage.
No, it doesn't surprise me. Like, you know, Dono's definitely a shooter, you know, and he's a guy that has had some really good fortune lately, but it's from, you know, working hard and getting to the right spots. And, you know, I mean, you know, he's got a certain role on this team of, again, checking right now the other team's top lines, and he's doing a pretty good job in that department as well. So, you know, very similar to kind of Dickinson's success in the goal department from last year in that role. But, you know, I'm not surprised. He's a driven guy, and, you know, he's passionate right to the end of the game. Like, you know, it was great. It was a great lift from, you know, I like to see our team reactive, but when we get scored on, just the way he did, we scored right away back.
Do you feel like you need more goal production out of that top line? Or obviously you guys have had some depth scoring lately that's helped it, but just, I guess, on nights like this where you could use a goal from one of those guys? Or?
Yeah, no, I think they had some good looks. I think Tavo just missed, or the block, he might have got a blocker on it at the end, but no, definitely, I think we got to think shoot a little bit more instead of playmaking from the blue line in, and create a little bit more off that rush and getting those shots off. But you know what? They are creative, and they had a good. We only had the one power play and the, you know, 5-on-4 up until the 6-on-4 at the end. And I thought they moved it around well, created some good scoring looks. Unfortunately, we just didn't get it.
I think Bedard had one or two off of the goalie's stick, and maybe saw it a little better.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, I think he had two, and I think someone else had one off the knob part of his stick. So it wasn't meant to be, I guess, to go in that part of the net tonight. But, you know, I mean, like, he's done that quite a bit this year. He's kind of elusive the way he shoots that puck. He gets his body going one way and shoots it the other way. So, you know, I think that was a little bit of luck and fortune for them. But, you know, I mean, I like him shooting the puck, and we are going to continue to keep asking him to do that.
That was Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson recapping the loss to the San Jose Sharks. He was talking about the first line there, and I also had a question from Sean on Twitter, who says, that first line is not working. All the plays are coming from the outside. He's talking about the line of Philip Kurashev, Connor Bedard, and Teuvo Teravainen. You know, I was looking at some of the stats. The first, I think it was the first 10 minutes of the hockey game, that line was being outshot, attempted 6-0. And then since that point, the Hawks led 18 to 4 in shot attempts the rest of the way. So the Kurashev, Bedard, Teravainen line definitely had a slow start, but they ended up generating 10 scoring chances for the rest of the game, which led any line by the Blackhawks. So they turned it around. They were generating chances. Can they do a better job of, you know, I'm just looking at that line. It's really three skilled players, Kurashev, Bedard, Teravainen, that all think the game the same way. So they're not going to really score those gritty goals. You know, they don't have a Tyler Bertuzzi or Nick Foligno on that line anymore. It's Kurashev joining Bedard and Teravainen. Kind of feels, in some way, it's different stylistically, but it some ways feels like the Alex DeBrincat, Dylan Strome, Patrick Kane line, where you're just going to throw them out there because all three of them think the game the same way, and they know how to play off each other. Like, Teravainen and Bedard have quickly clicked as a duo, and then Bedard and Kurashev clicked all of last season. So it's like you put those three together, you're not really expecting that line to score greasy goals. It's more so, can they outskill teams? And they were quiet in Colorado, in part because, and maybe I'll get to this, in part because in Colorado, that line went 0 for 10 in the faceoff department. Filip Kurashev was 0 for 2, and Connor Bedard was 0 for 8. And it's something I talked about on the pregame show, is Connor Bedard going into Thursday night's game, this game against San Jose, he had taken 100 faceoffs on the season, and he's only won 30 of them. Last year, he'd won 38.9%. So it's still not a great number, but his percentage is lower than it was even last season, and last season was really low. And so the Hawks are making sure that Bedard is working with Yannick Perreault, who's a Blackhawks development coach now, and Yannick Perreault is the best face-off specialist in NHL history, statistically, of players that have taken a minimum of 1,000 career face-offs. Yannick Perreault was 61.14%. Nobody else is above 60. And so he's just dynamite in that department when he was a player. And so he's the exact guy you want Connor to try to work his way out of. But at the same time, you know, I look at the faceoff numbers for Connor, and if that's his main deficiency, honestly, I think that, like, you'll live with that, because he's so good at creating offense, so good at scoring goals, driving play. And once the Blackhawks surround him with more talent, once the younger players that are in college or juniors and or in the AHL, Frank Nazar, Oliver Moore, you know, AJ Spellacy, Colton Dott, like, you're going to have so many of these players start to flirt with the NHL over the next couple of years. Once he gets his permanent players around him, it's going to be easier to shelter those faceoffs. Like, you could just spot start him. You know, you can have someone, like, he can play the center position, but you can have someone on that line come in and take the faceoffs, similar to what Nick Foligno was doing at the beginning of the year, when they were on the line together, where Nick Foligno was winning 60% of his draws, and he was taking the faceoffs specifically from the left side, and it was easy for him to take the faceoffs, and then Connor just immediately goes back to being a center. And we even saw that with Patrick Sharp during his Blackhawks career. He would at times take faceoffs even though he was a natural winger. But if the Hawks didn't have a legit second line center that could win draws, like, they would sometimes throw Patrick Sharp out there, who played on the wing, and then he would play center for the faceoffs and then hop back over to the wing. So I don't see it as a huge concern. And I shared some numbers in the pregame show as well. Like, Connor McDavid's career faceoff number is 47.8%, his win percentage. When he's on a line with Leon Draisaitl, Draisaitl takes all the faceoffs because he's better at that. And so you're like, okay, you don't think anything of it because it's Connor McDavid. Like, he's going to impact the game a different way. You know, I look at Nathan MacKinnon, his career win percentage in the faceoff circle, 45.9. Evgeny Malkin, future Hall of Famer, three-time Stanley Cup champion, 44.9 career faceoff percentage. Jack Eichel, 44.7 career faceoff percentage. Matt Barzell, who has skated with Connor Bedard in the summers, 42.3%. So that those are elite centers in the National Hockey League that are below average in the faceoff department. The one comparable, I'll say, to Connor Bedard, not stylistically, they play different games, but Jack Hughes, former number one overall pick with the Devils, he's been in the league for since 2019, so several years now. His career faceoff percentage is 35.7. I mean, that's tough. Like, that's worse than Connor Bedard, whose career number is 37.5. And so last year, New Jersey actually stopped throwing Hughes out there for faceoffs near the end of the season. They're like, we got to have someone else take these draws. And so Jack Hughes is still, like, one of the best players in the NHL, and, like, you don't think anything of it. So I'm really not worried about this. You know, he's such a great player. I'm not even going to say that he'll eventually figure it out, because maybe he won't. Like, maybe he just will never be good at it. but it's not going to be a problem that haunts the Blackhawks, because over time you're going to be able to find those second, third line centers that can be the third line guy can be more of a checking role. Second line center, it's not really crucial for them to be a huge face-off winner like you would hope that the first line guy would be. But if you got a guy like Patrick or like Connor Bedard, like I think of Patrick Kane in Chicago, like he's a winger that drove offense, and he never played with a center that was always dynamite in the faceoff circle. It was like Brad Richards and, you know, all these other guys. So not concerned, but tonight, Connor Bedard actually ended up winning 4 of 9. So he was still 44%, but he won 4 faceoffs. And ironically, the first one was the opening faceoff of the game, and the Hawks iced the puck like immediately after it was 7 seconds into the shift. It was like, oh man, they finally win a faceoff and they couldn't even capitalize on it. And then there's a defensive zone draw 7 seconds after a clear faceoff win. So I think over time, if the Hawks can find the right winger to be on Bedard's line and win those faceoffs, Bedard will have the puck more and that line will have the puck more as a whole. So Kurashev, Bedard, Teravainen, I like it on paper. I would run it back one more game, at least, maybe even through the weekend, and then kind of revisit. And if it's not working, then you can try a different combination. I mean, Tyler Bertuzzi was excellent tonight, I thought, and he hasn't played with Bedard all season yet. They were together all of training camp, and then the day before the season opener in Utah, Luke Richardson changed up the lines and moved Bertuzzi away from Bedard. So maybe that's an option if Bertuzzi starts to feel it, and the Kurashev just isn't sticking with that line with Bedard and Teravainen. So we'll see what happens. All right, we got one more break to get to. We'll wrap up the post-game show after this on 720 WGN.
And it goes tumbling over to the Penguin zone. Now Cody Glass picks up the loose puck, takes it over the Ducks line, leaves it back for Letang. Near circle, one-timer Crosby, and it goes steered wide over to the right side. Now taken by Crosby, and on the far side, cuts in through, he shoots and scores!
Oh, what a call by our guy, Joe Brand, over in Pittsburgh. That voice, yes, it does sound familiar because it is Joe. Great call by him on Sidney Crosby's overtime goal for the Penguins. They snapped a 6-game losing streak against the Anaheim Ducks. They were being outscored 26-13 over those 6 games. Crosby had both of the goals in Pittsburgh tonight. So giving some love to Joe. He's so good. I've been listening to him. He's been amazing in Pittsburgh. Incredible addition by the Penguins. Let's get over to a next game preview for the Blackhawks. They're going to be facing the Anaheim Ducks on Sunday, but before that, they're going to face the LA Kings on Saturday afternoon. Thank God we get an afternoon game after some late stretches here in the early going. Weird situation happened on Tuesday for the Kings. Kevin Fiala, they're on the road, and he missed a team meeting, so he was a healthy scratch for Tuesday's game in San Jose, ironically. His iPad alarm didn't go off, I guess, and so he just totally missed the team meeting. And on Wednesday in Vegas, he scored a goal and an assist in the win. So he came back, bounced back in a good way for the Kings. So he's likely going to be in the lineup on Saturday, assuming that his iPad alarm goes off. The LA Kings, they're without Drew Doughty. He fractured his ankle in the preseason. He underwent surgery. He's on a month-to-month kind of timeline. So I'm assuming he's going to be returning sometime around end of December, maybe January. So we'll see where that goes. But the Kings have been shockingly good even without him. Brant Clark, one of their number 8 overall pick in 2021, had a beautiful assist in Vegas the other night on Anze Kopitar's goal. He has 11 points in 11 games, 1 goal, 10 assists, is averaging 18 plus minutes of ice time. Anze Kopitar, he's 37 years old, year 19. And he is like an ageist wonder. 12 points in 11 games this season, 4 goals and 8 assists. The one Achilles heel for the Kings is their overall team save percentage. It's .881 between Darcy Kemper and David Rittich. And also their special teams, 24th in power play percentage, 20th in penalty kill. But they are a very good 5-on-5 team. So that's an area the Blackhawks are going to have to pay attention to when they play the Kings. Two quick notes. Alec Martinez and Laurent Brossoit. Martinez, I thought, joined the team for the road trip, but I guess he didn't. The Hawks sent Isaac Phillips back to Rockford right before they went on this road trip because presumably Martinez was going to be ready to return from his groin injury at some point on the trip. And he had been skating for like 4 or 5 days in a row, but he's not going to be on this trip at all. So I'm wondering if he suffered a potential setback, which is unfortunate for him. And then Brossoit was supposed to, or the hope was that he was going to join the team in San Jose, and Luke Richardson said the other day that he's not going to be joining at all on the road trip. So weird. I don't know what's going on, but Brossoit unfortunately is not going to be, he's beyond the timeline than we originally thought. So hopefully Arvid Soderblom can turn in a good performance over the weekend, and then we can revisit the goaltending situation when the Blackhawks get back to Chicago. Blackhawks Hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circus Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast tonight. Our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Patrick Hennessy, they were led by our captains, the engineer, the Colonel, Brett Jackson. And for John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from San Jose, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 3-2 Blackhawks loss to the Sharks. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Saturday afternoon.